The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Having a lot of fun, clearly. Well, but
yeah, I guess.
On a completely unrelated story, I know we're not going to talk at all about this, and it's not really linked to Israel, but I was really surprised to see the story about the United Arab Emirates launching a rocket to Mars.
Isn't that incredible?
Now, yeah, I think it is incredible. It was launched from Japan. And what one of the things that we don't know, first of all, it's the first rocket that's been launched out of the Earth's atmosphere from the Arab world ever. They have apparently launched some satellites also from the United Arab Emirates. And one thing I didn't realize was they actually had an astronaut from the United Arab Emirates who was sent to the International Space Station. So there is a real space program going on from the UAE and specifically based in Dubai. And I don't know, it's one of those things that we didn't really get to hear about, or I didn't at least get to hear about.
Yeah, interesting. We did report it on our news, but you're absolutely right. It's really a huge thing.
I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, talking about the latest stories from Israel. The interesting one is that Netanyahu and his corruption charges. Where are we with that?
Well, we had the second hearing yesterday of the corruption trial. This one was not attended by Prime Minister Netanyahu nor any of the other accused were not required to attend. There are three accused. Two others alongside Prime Minister Netanyahu. One of them did decide to volunteer to attend the trial. The other two did not. The trial is looking a bit of a joke. Really it is, because now of course the defense lawyers are doing whatever they can in order to delay proceedings. Apparently the defense lawyer said he is unable to cross-examine witnesses wearing a mask while the judge is wearing a mask, while the witness is wearing a mask, and he thinks that those are grounds to postpone the trial to some sort of indefinite future date. And he also mentioned, just in passing, that he'd only been hired for one hearing, for this particular hearing, because, of course, we've got this ongoing issue of, is the Prime Minister paying his lawyers or not? A series of lawyers have resigned as a result of apparently not having been paid. The judge said, well, what am I doing here if you've only been hired for one hearing? Where are we going from here? But in the event, I think sense prevailed to some degree, which means that the judge decided that there will be cross-examination of witnesses, but that will only start in January of 2021. And she ruled that the cross-examination of witnesses will take place three times a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, for whatever period of time is necessary. But that is all only starting in January of 2021. So until then, the lawyers theoretically have time to prepare the case. And I presume also there will be numerous opportunities to try, where possible, to delay the trial even further, because I think the idea is, from the Prime Minister's perspective, that, you know, the more he manages to delay things, and the less likely it is that he will be convicted, or at least under the current circumstances. So a little bit of a farce going on at the court, unfortunately, where the lawyers are really fighting over technical issues and some even quite ridiculous issues. But it could potentially impact on the whole transfer of power from Prime Minister Netanyahu to Benny Gantz, which is due to take place in November of 2021. And in the meantime, the trial is now delayed, well, not delayed, but I mean, there will be no hearings now, at least until January of 2021. And I'm guessing there will be a lot of water under the bridge by the time we get to that date.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to even imagine 2021, you know, I mean, I know that we're already more than halfway through 2020, but it just doesn't seem like it's coming at any time soon. Crazy one indeed. Management of the coronavirus in Israel is continuing to draw protests and objections. The public is confused by the lack of clarity and who's making the decisions. Yeah, I saw that restaurants closing and then they're going to open and then they're defying the law. It's almost worse than here.
Almost, maybe it even is. And the problem is not a lack of direction. Here we've just got too much direction. We don't know who's actually calling the shots. Prime Minister goes on TV announcing that every Israeli citizen will get a cash payment made according to the number of children they have in their family. Then it turns out that he hasn't really consulted with the Ministry of Finance about this issue. Lots and lots of objections within the Ministry of Finance. One person was almost threatened to be fired as a result of their objections. But it seems as if the Prime Minister is shooting from the hip, just speaking off the cuff, as they like to say in Hebrew, al regel achat, just, literally translates to mean standing on one leg without any preparations or without any support, as a result of which now the Ministry of Finance officials have gone into debate. The announcement yesterday was also very confusing, that perhaps these payments will not be made. The possibility is that single people will not receive any payment, or maybe they will receive a reduced payment rather than the 750 shekels. So in the meantime, another week goes by, and this payment, which is so urgently needed across many sectors of the economy, is now being delayed in bureaucracy, all because there doesn't seem to be any consultation and communication going on within the government. Similarly, as you mentioned with the restaurants, announcement on Thursday saying gyms will close, restaurants will close, and there will be weekend closures on beaches and other places of entertainment in order to try to stem the increased number of infections that Israel has seen. Some of the restaurants then the following day, the restaurants were advised that they don't need to close on Sunday, that they can remain open until Tuesday. Some of them say they're not going to close at all. They will suffer whatever fines. But in the meantime, the coronavirus committee of the Knesset, the chairman, or chair lady in this particular case, a member of the Likud, stood up and said, we have already decided that gyms can stay open. So you, Prime Minister, have no right to come and overrule that, because the Knesset is the ultimate decision-making body, and even the government can't overrule decisions that are being made by the Knesset. So he then said, well, you're fired, because we don't want a disagreement within the party. But there's just so much confusion as to who's actually managing this particular thing, who is going to stand up in front of the public and make statements which people can honestly buy into, believe, and feel confident and comfortable about. It's not only showing leadership, but it's also making decisions which make people feel a little bit more secure in what is being decided. Immediately the announcement came out, many of the medical teams and the doctors came out saying these decisions are medically ridiculous, that are not supported by medical science. There's absolutely no reason, for example, said a number of doctors, to close the beaches, even though there does seem to be a lack of social distancing at the beach. But the beach is an important place for people to get out. It is outdoors. It is part of exercise, is part of people's well-being. So there's no reason for us to close the beach, because the risks associated with lack of social distancing at the beach, it seems, at least in the opinion of some people, are not outweighed by the benefits of going to the beach and being a little bit more healthy and outdoors and enjoying some of the summer weather. So a huge confusion going on at the moment, which we hope will be satisfied by the appointment of somebody to really be the public person and the decision maker on the whole corona issue. Someone has been nominated for that particular role, although not yet appointed. But in the meantime, what we're seeing is a lot of work going on behind the scenes in order to justify the actions that are being taken. And then the Prime Minister deciding off his own back to do things which are not necessarily supported by the evidence that's been gathered. For example, the gym issue, the chairman of the Coronavirus Knesset Committee said, we've already decided that gyms won't close because there is no evidence to support the need to close gyms. So then the Prime Minister decided he was going to close the gyms anyway, on the back of no evidence whatsoever. So this is really confusing, causing a lot of public consternation, lack of confidence in the government, protests against the Prime Minister and the government from an economic perspective, and just all overall general confusion. It's just quite incredible.
It really is, because especially, and I keep saying it, like it's almost unbelievable, or I'm quite incredulous, how well Israel did the first time round. And to have gone from that to this is just phenomenal.
I think that a lot of people feel that the first round was a little bit of overkill, that there were a lot of measures that were taken that people tolerated and put up with at the time because it was all very new and all very unknown. But now, with the benefit of hindsight, have had a significant economic impact on Israel, have had a negative economic impact. And people are saying, we can't continue to do that. So we did well the first time around because we overkilled the situation. But we can't continue to overkill. We have to somehow find an even balance between protecting people's health and protecting our economy and allowing things to get back to some semblance of usual activity, be it studies, be it work, be it, you know, economic activity. Those things need to continue now. We need to have a breathing shutdown, as people say, a breathing quarantine situation where we protect our health, but we continue to work and the economy continues to run. So that's now the real challenge. Whereas before, the economy was really shut down, hard shut down.
Yeah.
Now, we can't afford to have that. Restaurants are up in arms, gyms are up in arms, other places of entertainment are up in arms, saying we need to find a way to earn a living while we protect our health.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. And in fact, that was reinforced with my discussion with Shai Badad, who was one of the people involved in the first economic lockdown. And he said the lessons learned is that economies don't need to shut down to the extent that they did. But obviously, at that stage, information just wasn't available. Now they've learned lessons and they can do things differently. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be happening. Israel shot down a drone yesterday that entered its airspace from Lebanon. Do we know who sent this drone?
We're not quite sure who sent the drone, and it was quite an interesting exercise because the drone was detected coming in from Lebanese airspace. And according to the reports that I've read, the IDF actually allowed the drone to come into Israeli airspace and then somehow took control of this drone. I don't know how that happens, right? A drone is being controlled by somewhere else through communication from the drone to the ground, and somehow the IDF managed to take control of this drone and then bring it into Israeli airspace to then have it shot down. Apparently, the drone was filming some video, and there was a report that said that the drone was filming some video ahead of the anniversary of the Second Lebanon War and was being used just to film some video clips from around the area where the war took place. I'm really not quite sure who we can believe in this particular matter, but be that as it may, the IDF decided that drones coming in from Lebanon present a risk to Israel's security, even though this particular drone was not armed with anything that could have harmed anybody or that it could have caused any damage. But obviously, even surveillance drones are potentially a threat. And so this one was brought down. And this is really where warfare is heading now. You know, once upon a time, troops used to line up in lines against each other and tanks used to line up. And now the attacks are being done through drones and through cybersecurity.
Fascinating. Finally, we've got a minute and a half. I want to talk about this Bedouin Israeli ambassador. Tell us about the story.
So this is a fascinating story of Israel appointing its first Bedouin ambassador. Ishmael Kaldi was one of 11 ambassadorial appointments that were approved yesterday. Obviously, the whole diplomatic corps has been somewhat on hold with the lack of government and the lack of foreign minister to make these new appointments. And yesterday, a whole raft of appointments were made, including Ishmael Kaldi, who became Israel's first Bedouin ambassador, not without controversy. Because he has been posted to become the ambassador based in Asmara in Eritrea. It's his first ambassadorial appointment, even though he has worked for the foreign ministry for the last 15 or 16 years. And he also spent a time as a personal political advisor to the former foreign minister, Avigdor Lieberman. He has also been appointed as a diplomat at the consulate in San Francisco, as well as the embassy in the UK. The issue with Ismail Kaldi is that he has actually criticized Israel on a number of occasions for its treatment of Bedouins and Arabs and Muslims in general. He's had a number of Facebook posts and a number of social media posts where he's been critical of the treatment of Muslims, Bedouins, Arabs in general in Israel. And of course, the meeting yesterday was quite controversial, where a number of the ministers who were in attendance raised this issue and said, how is it that we could appoint a man to become an ambassador of the state of Israel when he has been critical of Israel in his posts and in his social media? Interestingly, it was Minister Tzipi Khotoveli from the Likud who defended him, saying that he had provided high-quality service to the state and there was no need to go through his Facebook page while appointing him as ambassador. So he is being sent off to Eritrea. Other ambassadors who were appointed include three ladies who were appointed as Israeli ambassadors, one to the United Nations in Geneva, one to become the ambassador to Finland in Helsinki, and another one who will become ambassador to Uzbekistan, based in the capital, Tashkent, amongst a number of other ambassadors, including one to New Zealand and to Serbia and to Costa Rica, all of whom were appointed yesterday as part of these appointments.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.